knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He might talk about pizzas on the grill.
He may. There's a
chance.
That's
better than porn.
I agree with you, Joel Schumacher.
And just as messy.
Oh, boy.
If you do it right.
If you do it right.
Right? You know what I mean,
exactly.
Wendy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sex Thursdays continue.
Yeah, it's continuing. Dean Richards is our guest. Dean, the other day, this was so frustrating. We always keep you on Channel 9 here in the studio, but because we were doing the show, I didn't get a chance to hear you. But I know you were talking about all the new announcements that were made at the D23 Festival. This is Disney's big convention where they announce what's coming. Do you remember any of the highlights? Because I didn't get to hear you do any
of it. Yeah, big fan fest. Well, I may not remember the dates, but they released new footage of the new Star Wars movie that's coming out in December.
Yeah. The Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
Rey is badass.
Oh, my gosh. I must have watched it 30 times.
Really?
When it came out. And
yeah.
When we first were watching it here in the office, I scared people around me.
Why?
Because I was shouting. I was reacting to what I was seeing. And, you know, I think they thought I was having a stroke, you know, at my age.
Yeah.
You know, I am in those years. The very exciting what they showed. They talked about some new Star Wars things that are going to be on the Disney online platform that will take on Netflix head on. They talked about some new Marvel projects that are going to be coming out, one of which, the Eternals, will include Kit Harington, who we know from Game of Thrones. What else was there? Yeah, there were you know, half a dozen announcements of huge Disney projects. Black Panther 2.
Yeah.
They announced it's going to be out in May of 2022.
Wow.
You know, they're working on
planning way ahead
on some stuff. If only that Disney kid company could get things together.
Right, they'd be all right.
I'd be a force. A good future for them if they would just, you know, focus a little bit.
I saw the same trailer you're referring to for The Rise of Skywalker, and there's it's only for a second or two, but a very a prominent scene where you see Carrie Fisher. And did you see the story that J.J. Abrams told about her over the weekend?
No.
Very peculiar story. Dean, I don't want to leave anything out, but you know most of it, I'm guessing. He had said that Carrie Fisher wrote something about the times, plural, that they worked together. This was prior to her death, of course, when in reality he had only worked with her once, but now kind of worked with her a second time in using this footage of her in the movie.
Well, what I had read was that J.J. Abrams had said that this next Star Wars movie, that Carrie Fisher is the heart of this next Star Wars movie, which is kind of interesting because the footage that they're using in this is footage that they had previously shot prior to her death.
For a different movie, right?
For one
of the other Star Wars movies.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so, but he feels like it, you know, is going to play prominently or else is just, you know, using brilliant marketing here.
Yeah.
And, you know, letting people think that, you know, Carrie Fisher is going to be predominant in this movie. Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. Nobody has seen the movie yet.
They also said that they're revamping Epcot. Disney did.
I brushed over. They said that they're going to be doing some transformations of some of the Disney parks, which I guess I haven't been in years. So, you know, I guess they're in need of some renovation from what people are saying. I'm all in favor of redoing something in Epcot because I know some people love it.
Yeah, you don't
I think it's the most boring of all the parks.
Well, how about this? You know that part where it's all the different countries kind of in a half circle? They're adding Elk Grove Village to that. Isn't that cool?
That's going to push it over the
top. That's going
to
be big.
Now, see, if they wanted to tie in Black Panther 2, they should include Wakanda.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, that
makes
like a natural
sense.
You know, come on. Like I said, Disney, focus.
Right. Now, there's also been some news over at Saturday Night Live. They announced a cast change, but not the one that people were expecting.
No, everybody thought that Kate McKinnon was going to be leaving because her contract expired last May. The other day, they announced that she will return for their, I think it's 45th season that will begin in a couple of weeks. But Leslie Jones, who's been on the show for 5 years, a little bit more than that if you count the time that she was just a writer.
Mm-hmm.
She's leaving the show, and that she is going to be, she's already been in a bunch of movies, but will be in even more movies, other television projects. She wants to do a stand-up comedy special for Netflix. Here's one that is interesting that she says that she wants to do.
What's that?
Bring back the old game show, Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, do you remember that show, Wendy?
Yeah.
So she'll host Supermarket Sweep.
She will host Supermarket Sweep the way Alec Baldwin is hosting Match Game, I guess, now.
Yeah.
And Anthony Anderson is To Tell the Truth, where they bring back pretty big stars to be the hosts of these primetime game shows that are coming back.
How about that?
Is this her choice to leave? Or
yeah.
I'm shocked.
I am, too.
Yeah. She decided that she can do, you know, the road is cluttered with Saturday Night Live stars who were great on SNL that thought, yeah, I can be even bigger if I go to the movies, and then we don't hear from them ever again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's going to happen to Leslie Jones, but it's a crapshoot when you get out there, you know. Not everybody can be Eddie Murphy.
Dean, several
who,
people...
Who, by the way, is going to be back.
He's
going to be hosting in December, his first time hosting the show since he left it in 1984.
Wow. Several people have asked me this, and I don't know the answer. Maybe you do know the answer. In the early days of Saturday Night Live, the cast members all made roughly the same amount of money. You made more if you were a cast member and a writer, but other than that, everybody kind of made the same. But now I know they make different amounts, so the question is... Is the difference in something like what Kate McKinnon makes and one of the lesser known cast members, is it a huge difference or just kind of a small difference?
I think it's I think there's some pretty big money that gets spread, you know, and how it spreads apart is, you know, depends on the person's value to the show.
Yeah,
I remember I don't know the current cast and their salaries, but I do remember that when Will Ferrell was still on the show, and he, you know, he was the it guy on that show,
right,
his salary was significantly higher than almost everybody else who was on the show at that time. I mean, like almost $100,000 more than everybody else, which, you know, I think is a lot of money.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Dean Richards is here. He'll tell us about what movies are opening this week. That's coming up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill and I would like to invite you to join us on WGN Extra at noon. We'll be there from noon to one. You can hear us talking about what's hot and what's cold. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man.
Dean Richards is our guest. Dean, this time of year is usually kind of a rough period for movies. The summer blockbusters have kind of dissipated, and the serious movies, the serious Oscar contenders, haven't started quite yet. This is usually kind of a dry spell, isn't it?
It is, very much so. The Oscar contenders are beginning to roll out already. The Venice Film Festival in Venice, Italy, started yesterday. And they had the world premiere of the film called Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Robert De Niro. It's the story of Joker from the Batman. It's not a Batman movie. It doesn't seem like. It seems like it's a prequel, I guess you might say, that focuses specifically about how the Joker got to be the Joker, how he became who he was.
Yeah.
Fascinating backstory, I'm sure.
It's,
I would think,
so creepy.
Yeah.
I didn't think anybody could be a creepier Joker than Heath Ledger.
But yeah, he was fantastic.
Was so good. Joaquin Phoenix, in this trailer at least anyway, looks amazing.
Yeah.
The storyline looks amazing. Robert De Niro plays a TV talk show host. It looks like kind of like a Johnny Carson-like host, who makes fun of this failed stand-up comedian, the Joker, before he becomes the Joker. And apparently, I guess he goes off on a revenge rampage, from what I could understand from the trailer. But we're going to begin seeing trailers. We're going to begin seeing little tidbits of some amazing movies. This Renee Zellweger movie, where she plays
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland.
Yeah.
I'm hearing is very good.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen it. I've only seen a trailer that you know, can be very deceiving, but I'm looking forward to that.
Do you remember years ago Judy Davis played her in a made-for-TV movie? She was really good.
She was great. She won all kinds of Emmy Awards for that. I'm very curious to see what Renee Zellweger is going to do. They just released an album yesterday of Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland doing duets with lots of contemporary singers.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds so interesting. So interesting to me.
Yeah.
So, I could see her as Judy Garland for some reason.
I do too.
I'm anxious to see it. The first chance that I'll get to see some of these movies is at the Toronto Film Festival, which starts in a couple of weeks here in North America. It's probably North America's biggest film festival.
Dean, do you know who's playing a young Liza Minnelli in that movie?
I don't.
Beanie Feldstein.
Really?
Yep.
I like Beanie Feldstein.
Is she really? Okay. Why do I believe either of you? I'm telling you, I fall for it all the time because I could see that too.
I could kind of see that. That doesn't exactly have the body structure
Of Liza.
Of Liza Minnelli. Yeah. But I don't know how they're reinterpreting it. Turns out Bill just wanted to say the words Beanie Feldstein.
I enjoy saying Beanie Feldstein.
He's going to say it every time you're on the air with us now. I guarantee it's a drinking game now.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Beanie Feldstein.
All right. What's going on with Brittany? I'm sorry, Dean. Did you have more to say about this film festival?
I have nothing else to say about it except that we'll soon have
real
movies to talk about. There actually is one really, really good movie this week and one really, really awful movie this week. And the really, really good one is called Brittany Runs a Marathon. It's about a hard-drinking, hard-eating 20-something, goes to the doctor, is told that she is not in the best of health, that she needs to lose like 50 pounds, and she begrudgingly starts to try to work out. She begrudgingly tries to run, and, like a lot of people who start exercise regimes, you sort of, you can't stand it, and then suddenly you crave it. And that's what happens with Brittany in this movie, played by Jillian Bell, who you probably know best from Workaholics, but she's been in a whole variety of movies and television shows. She is so good in this movie. Number one, it's a very funny rom-com. Number two, it's a very thoughtful movie about not only the physical transformation that a person who is overweight goes through, mm-hmm. and the difficulty about all of that, but the internal struggle that a person who is overweight and the story of their self-perception, how they view themselves inside. That's what this movie, I think, is most successful at achieving. It's funny. It's thoughtful. It's very well performed. I was so surprised. This is a real sleeper. Another one of these cute little movies that came out of nowhere the past few weeks. Brittany Runs a Marathon gets a Dean's List A.
Oh, very nice.
And really, this is an Amazon original?
This is an Amazon movie that will be in theaters this weekend, yes.
Wow, that sounds enlightening, I have to tell you.
It's a really, really nice movie.
The only person, Wendy, you might recognize in the cast, the only person I recognize is Michaela Watkins, who was on Saturday Night Live for a couple seasons. They didn't use her much, but she was a cast member for a couple of years.
Not a lot of familiar faces in this movie.
No. And then the other movie that's coming out, Dean, is The Fanatic.
John Travolta, what's happened? What has happened, John Travolta?
This is a bad review. I know it.
So great in Saturday Night Fever. So great in Grease.
Pulp Fiction.
I like
The Boy
Michael
in the Plastic Bubble.
Oh, that was my favorite.
The Plastic Bubble.
Yep.
It was fantastic.
Yep.
You know who was great in that movie?
Beanie Feldstein
was
great in that
correct.
Movie.
Grow up, the two of you.
Exactly right.
She won a People's Choice Award for that.
She was great in that movie.
Yep.
And a Soul Train Music Award, oddly enough.
And the Cy Young Award. No one saw that coming.
That's an odd one. John Travolta has been in such good movies, and he really is quite a good actor. He has the knack for picking remarkably terrible movies, though. And I'm afraid this movie, his new one called The Fanatic, is one of these bad movies in which he plays an obsessed fan of the movies in general. He's a movie savant, but he is a super fan of one actor in particular, knows every fact about him, tries to meet him at any public event where he possibly can, learns his home address, goes to his house and is kicked out and goes to his house again. And this is one of these fans that just does not know when to quit. He is a fanatic, as the movie title will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cartoonish performance. It's it's a story that feels like it could have gone the way of Misery.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah.
Or very much like King of Comedy.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing where somebody is really obsessed with another person. But you understand why. You get some depth. You get more than just the outward appearances. In this movie, you get only the outward appearances of Travolta's, the way he dresses, the way he acts, and the way he talks. But you have no idea from where this any of this is coming. And it just, it felt empty and shallow. It's poorly constructed. Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit directs this movie.
Really?
And I think in the hands of a more experienced director, it might have turned out better. Because the storytelling itself is kind of scattered and all over the place. I like John Travolta very, very much personally. And I'm sorry to tell you that this is one that I am definitely not recommending. I gave it a Dean's List D-.
Ah.
I can't wait to see the sequel as Bill Stock's Beanie Feldstein, Fanatic 2, will be coming out soon.
I love my beanie is the working title right now.
Thank you so much, Dean.
Thanks,
Have a great weekend.
See you guys.
That's Dean Richards. That's who that is. We'll close things off in a little bit and turn the reins over to Steve with the Wintrust Business Lunch next.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.